31 in your pew Bibles. The word of Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judea and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us in his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall attribute to many a peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up the sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more.
What a beautiful anthem. Thank you so much, choir. You did wonderfully well. It seems odd that today's second reading comes not from the first chapter of Matthew or Mark or Luke or even John, but from chapter 24, which is just four chapters shy of the end of the gospel. It's a different reading, one that will startle us, perhaps. So listen now as I read to you from Matthew's gospel, chapter 24, beginning at verse 36. Jesus is speaking. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken, and one will be left. And two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken, and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, recently, a colleague told me a story about her experience with a Presbytery-wide youth work trip to the Manal School in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Now, for those of you who don't know, the Manal School has long been a Presbyterian beacon of hope down there in New Mexico. It is an educational center for Native American students. And they take in youth work groups during the summer especially. And apparently, the leaders of this group had given their students a break in their very busy schedules between the time that the youth stopped on their work project for the day and the dinner hour. Then everyone was to get back together right at 6 o'clock. They were going to reflect on their day before sharing grace and enjoying the dinner together. Now, who knows why? But several of the boys failed to show up on time. The rest of the group had all but finished discussing all that had happened that day when the latecomers showed up. And when asked what caused them to be late, they said they didn't know what time it was. Now, before you jump to conclusions, the leaders had asked everyone to retire their cell phones during the work trip, except for maybe an hour at night, so that they could really focus on the meaning of the work and service they were giving. Now, there were clocks with sweep hands hanging in every room of the school and even in the hallways of the building. The thing of it was, as you older folks may expect, these young men had only read time on digital clock faces. They'd never learned to read analog dials with sweep hands. So I wonder how many of us can actually read sundials. People haven't always measured time as we do nowadays. There may have been a sundial in the town where Jesus was talking, but people were more likely to simply note the sun's place in the sky when they began to fire up the kilns for their ceramics or bread ovens. And those who fished for a living used the stars for both time-telling and navigation. They did, however, have a good handle on the seasons of the year. Even 5,000 years ago, people used those stone circles to follow the sun's pattern so they'd know when to plant and when to harvest their crops. But these sorts of timepieces weren't as exacting as ours are today. So it would not be easy to know the exact day or hour most events were to happen. And here, in our reading, Jesus is reminding his listeners that no one can tell the exact time of when the Lord is coming. And yet, they are still to be ready for his arrival. Jesus' words are challenging. How do you get ready to welcome someone when you don't know when they're going to arrive? When do you start cleaning the house or laying out the table? And if you vacuum days ahead, you'll have to redo your work at least once. And not every dish that you want to serve can be made ahead of time, right? They can't always be frozen until the big day and then just warmed up and served. I suspect that Julie and Casey have a good idea of how difficult planning an event can be. They probably had list upon list of details that must be accomplished before Casey's wedding day. But at least there's a specific date and time when all the details must be accomplished in order for the wedding to happen. And any woman who has worked to rearrange life before the arrival of a new baby knows that you may think you know the date on which the little one is going to arrive, but babies have their own minds about these things. You just never know. Apparently, this sense of life's unpredictability has been with humans since Noah's time. God may have told him a catastrophe was coming, but not exactly when it would happen. And moms-to-be, well, they're like Noah. Both are shrouded in a bit of darkness as they prepare for whatever lies ahead. And like Noah, most moms develop an ability to listen to that voice within which gives them guidance about the things to come. Yet not everyone listens to that still small voice, especially when they're extremely busy. It's way too easy to allow the noisy world around us to drown out the understanding of what we are to do and how we are to be in order to be ready for the change, the amazing change that's about to take place in our lives. I believe that that is what Jesus was pointing towards when he talked about how all of Noah's neighbors were swept away, and how workers in farm fields and women who were grinding grain were taken out of the world without notice. Do you remember the movie Evan Almighty? Anybody? Yeah? Remember, Evan had just been elected to Congress from his everyday job as a news reporter, and all of a sudden, he starts hearing God's voice. He tries to ignore what God is saying, but then his beard grows very long and becomes very white, and pairs of animals start to follow him around. Well, you know how it goes from there. Evan ends up building the ark. He prepares for what God says is about to come. And meanwhile, his boss and his co-workers and his neighbors and his friends think he's gone off the deep end, totally crazy. They continue living their everyday lives and doing their everyday jobs. Now, God may well have been whispering to these other people, just as God had spoken to Noah. But unlike Noah, they failed to listen. They were busily eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage, and they failed to prepare for the flood or for the Lord's arrival. And then the dam burst. Now, while the noisy folks were overpowered by the waters, like the man in the field and the woman who was grinding her wheat, Noah was left on earth. But why were they left here? Time for a Greek lesson. And the youth in confirmation class heard Greek this morning, didn't you? We learned Greek, yeah. I'm into it today. The Greek word that Matthew uses in this segment for what's happening to those who are left is actually a really fluid word. It has many meanings. If interpreted one way, it could mean that persons were being forsaken as evil while others were being taken up to heaven. And you could think of the ones taken up to heaven as the ones who were saved, right? But that same word could also mean that the ones that were left in the field or on the grinding floor had been forgiven and remain on earth to be part of God's kingdom that is breaking forth with the Lord's arrival. Real different. You see, God was aware that these people had been attentive to God's voice in their life, Noah and the one woman grinder and the one person in the field. They had watched for God's presence in their lives by living righteously before God. And it makes sense then that Noah and the field worker and the grain grinder were being left to finish preparing for God's kingdom as God's forgiven children. You know, it's also interesting that though Jesus doesn't really say what kind of work people are to do, we are still to wait for the Lord. He doesn't even seem to focus on the tasks Noah did. Jesus doesn't seem to focus on the tasks that Noah did to prepare for God's next act. He leaves his listeners to wonder, which can be troublesome for those who want exacting instructions or to be kept busy, super busy, with jobs of good works. How can we be forgiven if we haven't done enough to merit God's grace? Big question. You see, busyness is a fairly common way of life. You know, that good old Puritan work ethic, it runs deep in our veins. Anybody out there watch Hallmark movies besides me? A few? Okay, good. Have you seen the one, it's new, in which the dad tells the prospective nanny that if she thinks the children's weekday schedules look busy on the iPad calendar he's just handed her? Well, in their family, the weekdays are quiet compared to the weekends. They are one busy family. It's as if they must do it all and get it all done in order to have it all. It seems that because we cram our lives so full of every play date, every club meeting, every athletic event, vacation, or you name it possible, that we don't wait very well. So we fail to hear God's voice in our hearts all too often. Now, about those boys who missed the mission trip reflection time. Rather than sitting around waiting for the next planned event, they had taken time to be with new friends. They were connecting with each other in a place and in a way God had called them to be. And even though they were on a mission work trip, they weren't doing good works at that particular moment. Instead, they were opening their hearts to one another, and through those relationships, God was preparing them to be part of God's kingdom, the kingdom of compassion, of mercy and kindness, and yes, of hope. They weren't exactly busy, but in a very real way, they had it all. And when the leaders of the group heard that they had been building community, they forgave the boys. Friends, Jesus calls all who hear his voice to watch for the moment when he will again arrive. And that's what we're about during the Advent season. We are waiting not for the baby who has already come, although that's a great thing to remember. Nativity was important, but we're not waiting for that. We are waiting for the Lord who is yet to come. And in the meanwhile, in this between time, between the time of his first birth and his return, his followers are to keep awake and prepare for that incredible event. We are to offer hope by responding to God's voice and listening compassionately to people, by encouraging hope and act randomly in kindness, and by simply creating relationships with one another, even if that means being late for group reflections. Yeah, these things take time from lives made busy by the noisy world that surrounds us, especially during Black Friday weekend. And yes, time is precious. For though we know not when, God's kingdom is coming. And within that kingdom, time will no longer matter. For those who have been watchful and alert to God's voice within their hearts, who have prepared by being in relationship with one another and with God, will have it all. Amen. Would you please stand as you are able and share with me in the words of our faith, the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting forevermore. Amen. You may be seated.
Please join with me in the offering prayer. God of hopeful waiting, we give thanks for all the ways in which you reveal yourself to us. Help us to clear away the many distractions of this season and offer our whole lives as gifts to you. May these offerings nurture all the ways in which your promise is breaking to the world in acts of compassion and justice. His gifts nurture your rule and peace.
We have come to a time when we share from our hearts our joys in what God has gifted us with and our concerns for all those things that happen in our lives. Does anyone have anything to share? Yes. We have a joy.
If someone doesn't have anything to do this afternoon.
Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. It is laid out not on a Presbyterian table or on your home dining table, but on Christ's table. And to this table, the faithful of all the world are welcomed. They can come from north or south, east or west, and they will all sit at table in the kingdom of God. Let us pray. We praise you, O Lord, our God. We proclaim your greatness and bless you for your covenant, for your mercy shown to Abram and Sarah, for your promise to David and Bathsheba, for your word spoken by the prophets, and for the gift of your Son, our mighty Savior.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God. Blessed are you. The prophets foretold it. The desert burst into bloom. Angelic messengers delivered news. A priest lost his speech. A young woman found her voice. In this season of Advent, the scriptures revive old stories and bring new understandings. In the face of critics and skeptics, our faith cries out, resilient like a baby from a manger bed. From that Bethlehem beginning, Jesus, baptized in the Jordan, spent his life serving others that all might know the compassionate attention of a loving God. He brought good news for all the people so that we would not be afraid, for he is with us. We hunger for his love, which surpasses all of our understanding. And the people said, we thirst for his spirit, which never runs dry. May he nourish our souls through this meal, feed our minds, quench our deepest longings, and forgive our transgressions, so we may glorify him every day of our lives. Amen and amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we remember that on the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat of it, and do so remembering me." And in the same way, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, which has been shed for you. Drink of it, all of you, and do so remembering me." Therefore, every time we eat of this bread or drink of this cup, we do so proclaiming the life, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ until he comes again. For this meal and for Christ's presence within it, we call out, "Blessed are you, O Lord our God. Blessed are you." As you sent your spirit to Mary, pour out your spirit on us and on this meal. Feed us with your life and make us holy and righteous before you. Heal us with the crippled woman that we may live anew. And send us out into the world preaching your way of peace. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God. Blessed are you. To you, O Mighty One, Merciful Three, God of the living, Father of forgiveness, Author of life, dawn in our darkness, we join with the multitude of the angels who sing forever of your glory. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us feast. got it. Be seated. The bread of life for you, Lou. Mindy, the bread of life. Tim, the bread of life. Wilson Marshall, the bread of life. Barbara, the bread of life. Melissa, the bread of life. This is the bread of life, broken for you. Take and eat. Mindy, this is the cup of salvation. This is the cup of salvation. The cup of salvation for you. This is the cup of salvation. This is the cup of salvation. This is the cup of salvation for all of you. Take and drink. Let us pray. Holy Creator, bread of life, your light shines in the night, and the night will not overcome it. In this meal, we have been strengthened and the light of your love rekindled within our hearts. We thank you for renewing us for our service to your purpose and reviving the glow of your light within us. Now send us out boldly to carry your light into this, your world. Amen and amen. And let us sing just the first and last verses of this hymn. Friends, hope is the assurance of things not seen. Today, I invite you to carry out the light of hope into the world. Brighten this darkness and listen for God's voice in your hearts. Prepare the way of the Lord by being in relationship with one another and with God. And go knowing that the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that draws us together as the Holy Spirit goes with you now and always. Amen and amen.